Hi, I'm Steven, the host of the Mina Surge podcast, your ultimate source for Web3 and fintech-related news in the Mina region. We're powered by Fintech Surge and Future Blockchain Summit in association with Jitex Global, an integral part of Expand North Star, taking place October 13th through 16th at Dubai Harbor. We're excited to be partnering with Web3 TV and its host Ornella Hernandez for Web3 Talks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Web3 Talks. This episode is a special one because it is in partnership with the Mina Surge podcast. So my co-host today is Stephen Bess, and we are interviewing Amrita, who is an NFT and digital artist based in Dubai, UAE. Thank you guys for joining us. Stephen, do you want to say a few words?
Not really. We're super excited to have Amrita. We had just met after the big event that took place last week, and we were just talking a little bit about bringing you on to Future Blockchain Summit and talk about your new collection.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. I mean, obviously, I'm a very regular attender of Future Blockchain Summit. Have been going there sort of at least three years in a row at least. I'm loving it. You know, I know you changed it up with the location last year, really big, big space. So yeah, great job.
Yeah, we were there. We had a booth, so we were there all 4 days talking to as many people as we could. Very excited for this year's Future Blockchain Summit. Amrita, you just came out with a new NFT collection called Bucket Monsters. And the slogan is Art, Tech, Wellness. Absolutely. So I'm very curious about how the wellness factor plays into this new collection. Mm-hmm. If you could just tell our audience a little bit about it and the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, to my core, and I think, every artist I feel has a purpose, or we are artists are storytellers of our times, right? And I think my kind of main purpose through my art is to always inspire change through art and technology. And on the first part, inspiring change through how we're moving from the new, the sort of current state of tech in the Web2 world to the new state of tech, which is Web3. Mm-hmm. And I use art in my, in my practice to actually help people understand and make that transition. So, for as long as I've been an artist, from everything from showcasing what NFTs are, but augmented reality, virtual reality, AI, I use tech as a tool brush to basically allow people to see what the new tech is in a way that's, educating, but also entertaining.
Yeah.
So I call it art edutainment.
Love that.
Mm. And then on the second level of wanting to inspire change through art and technology is, obviously I was an ex-banker, I became an artist. And, for me to be able to have done that change, I had a bit of a personal growth moment where I went quiet, went inward to myself, connected, I think, to who I've always authentically been, and came out and became an artist. And so what I want to do is inspire others to be able to take that moment to really understand who am I and who have I become, and am I really living my most authentic life? And that's really the principle of, I think, all my collections come from.
Okay, I love that. So is that where the wellness aspect, I guess, comes in? Because if we look at the art itself, I personally don't associate monsters with wellness. So can you tell us about
that? What about
that?
Buckets?
Yeah, what about buckets?
Yeah, buckets, exactly. I understand, not the monsters. Yeah.
So, and I love the fact that it causes confusion, right? Because I think sometimes, for to be able to get a message across, and whether it's, somebody who's young or old, sometimes it's just important to switch it up.
Yeah.
So effectively, I've taken the bucket list and I've kind of flipped it on its head. So what is a bucket list? A bucket list is you taking your experiences or your desires and wants and actually putting it into a bucket for you to achieve. But actually what I do say is that we are the bucket. So we are the sums of our experiences, words, thoughts, and actions. And we are the container of our own lives. And so, it goes back to quite a deep philosophical kind of concept of what are we putting into our bucket, right? Like, what are the words we tell each ourselves? What is the ideas? What are the phrases? What we are also the sum of all of our experiences, right? What we scroll on the internet, what we watch on Netflix, which restaurant we decide to go to, who we decide to hang out with. Those all form parts of our experiences, which then form who we are. And so the question that I always have to people is, are you, what kind of a bucket are you? Are you a happy bucket? Are you a loving bucket? Are you a messy bucket? Or even, maybe even a toxic bucket. And so, and then the monsters represent the messes that we make in life. And so it's very normal for all of us to make messes and make mistakes. In fact, it's just the way we are hardwired. We're human beings and it's okay to make mistakes. But the most important thing about making a mistake and making a mess is that you
clean it up.
Exactly that. Because otherwise, if you don't, you start to get a little bit messy. Your bucket starts to get a little bit messy. And a lot of the times people, you know, there's no, I would say there's no time limit to clean up your bucket, right? Because you just like, and we get, sometimes we get a bit comfortable with our messes, don't we? So we make mistakes and we're just like, there's just a little bit of a mess in the bucket. We don't need to clean it now. But eventually that kind of stuff can pile up. And so what I wanna kind of, the kind of core principles and values of the bucket monsters are, it's important to be uniquely different and yourself because we are all creative expressions of who we are, that it's okay to express your mess and to make mistakes. But at the same time, you have to clean your bucket. And when you do clean your bucket, you have to go and make sure that others in your community are doing the same and what I call is vibe check. So you just vibe check and be like, How's the bucket cleaning coming today? And do you need help? And that fosters a little bit more. And that feeds into the whole concept of what it means to also be part of a community.
Okay, so how do we help our viewers or even ourselves like identify what bucket we are? Like, what would you say your type of bucket is?
I'd be the mop bucket.
So you'd be a helper of all the bucket cleaners.
I guess
cleaners.
You could say that, because as you were talking, I'm thinking, yes, some there's messy buckets, but also I use a bucket to clean as well, not just clean the bucket, but you also use buckets to clean, right?
Exactly, and actually, if you even think about what it takes to clean a bucket, like it, you know, if it's mess in the, and I think this equates to personal growth, right? Like, a lot of the time, whether you call it wellness, personal growth, spiritual, whatever you want to connect to, the important thing is that, you know, like, it's sometimes it's hard work, and we sometimes shy away from going inwards and actually working on ourselves. But one thing that I want to show people is that if you take a bucket and you take like a really nice bubble bath kind of like nice soap that smells of cherries and rainbows, and you put that into a bucket, it starts to foam up beautiful bubbles. It smells nice, and to the point where you can't even see the mess. And actually, when you clean out the bucket, there's something so cathartic about it. And so what I want to do is encourage people to be able to say that, you know, personal growth doesn't, it can be messy, but it doesn't need to be unpleasant.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are scared of that.
Okay. And what's been the reception so far from either buyers, collectors, or just people that you've told the, that know about the collection?
So yeah, it's at the moment, it's kind of a, if you know, you know kind of vibe. It's very recently announced. At the moment, it's currently in private pre-sale, so you can't access the collection unless obviously by invite only at the moment, and we'll go to mint in, you know, sometime in the next, you know, to be seen whether it's a month or 2 months.
Let us know when.
and the idea though is that we want to, I want to kind of grow a community of people who I think, who I identify, people who are either art enthusiasts, tech enthusiasts, or for me, change makers who really believe in either making a change from within or change to their community. And so I think already the people that follow me and my collectors are already kind of in that mindset. So it's been very well received so far.
Great. And as somebody that is obviously an artist that really cares about wellness of the community around you, how do you believe that NFTs as a medium specifically positions you to be able to relay that message?
Because I think, you know, for me, NFTs represent more than just a, I would say, like, as I said, a JPEG that's minted onto the blockchain that has its unique token identity, which you can then trade, right? At the end of the day, and especially, this is my first kind of PFP collection, right? So a profile pick. It's my, because I normally do.
I was going to say it's very different from your first collection.
It's very different. And I actually just did this because A, I wanted that message to come off. You know, it's very important for me in terms of the whole bucket monsters concept, because I think it'll hit everybody, right? It'll make everybody think. But what I wanted to do was actually also show that the lines, what Web3 is doing to overall the way we live our life is we're creating a new paradigm of how society is going to work. Mm. And just bear with me on this, because back in the day when we would, when, you know, like how would we identify with our community? It would be geographical location. So right. This was before we could travel out and about. We would identify with common foods, common languages, and we would have a flag, right? And we still have the flag to identify that that's my community, those are my people, and this is my tribe, and this is how I vibe, right? But nowadays, the new way of what Web3 communities look like is that we don't need to be, geographical lines are no longer you know, you can be living right next door to somebody, but feel so disassociated with them, but you could be having the same, you know, like vibe with somebody who's in Brazil. And so how do you identify that you're part of the same tribe and community? You replace the flag with a bucket monster. You replace the flag with a Bored Ape Yacht and club. And then you actually put all of that as your profile pictures, instead of putting like, you know, I'm from Kenya or I'm from Switzerland.
Right.
And that's how you identify your community, because digitalization is changing the way society works.
A lot of people would say also that PFPs might be more of a status symbol though. Like, I think on X and our formerly Twitter, people who posted their photos of their Bored Ape Yacht Club or their Pudgy Penguin or whatever was like, hey guys, look, like I have this.
Okay, so I'm gonna relay it back to real world, right? Like as into the Web 2 world or the current state of.
Yeah.
Don't people, isn't it, don't you flex if you've got more like, you know, a passport that gets you into countries other than, I mean, if you only have a UAE passport.
I'm an American.
Yeah, UAE passport, UK passport.
I just let everybody know.
You know, and then, like I was born in Kenya, I'm of Indian origin. And so like these passports traditionally, they're not great. And you're not gonna flex being, oh, like, you know, I've got my whatever passport, right? And it can be seen, but obviously other countries flex it more. And then I would even say, let's even take it to even art, physical art. Like if you go to somebody's home and you see that they've got a Picasso, well, I mean, straight away, that's a status symbol.
Yeah.
Even the watches we wear, you know, so as human beings, it's a time old tradition that we choose some form of status symbol to basically to differentiate us and to make sure everybody right there then knows that either I'm in the know because I have money or I'm just cool or whatever it is, you know. And so it's just a reflection on current society.
Okay. So NFTs are like the next evolution maybe of this need of humans to flex.
To flex and to show community and to show who are my people, right?
For sure. And NFTs as in general have a utility beyond just showing off that I spent a lot of money on this JPEG, right? One of the examples that I think of is especially in Dubai, how we can buy license plates.
Oh yeah.
A license plate that has no function other than a normal license plate, but you still see people paying millions of dollars for, you know, the number 10 license plate, for example, just to show off, hey, I have that. But as you mentioned, NFTs make you a part of something. It makes you a owner of something, makes you a part of a club that is an exclusive thing that you have a right to.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's, you know, this is what I think people are getting is that, you know, also with me I'm an artist first, and I've created, you know, I create digital art, I create physical art, murals. And anyone who gets to buy my PFP, you're able to, you know, those tend to sell for thousands of dollars. Whereas here, you're going to be able to access my community or be part of my world for, you know, like even, you know, like less than even maybe around $100 to buy a PFP, because then it gets you into Amritaverse as well. And that allows you to to kind of get, you know, discounts on maybe my physical art, you know, my augmented reality merch and t-shirts and fashion, and then also having that like-minded community of art tech enthusiasts as well as change makers.
If you had to choose, like, let's say you could only choose one medium to operate in for the rest of your life, what would it be? Physical, digital, or maybe just murals, or just one type of art?
Nobody's asked me that question before. It's a hard one.
Yeah, it's hard. Think about it.
I think it's funny because I would choose it, but even though I've made a small scale sculpture, but I think sculptures, okay. Right? And I think that the reason why is, I mean, also big murals. I mean, I've painted four around the city of Dubai, and what I like is the legacy that it leaves and the amount of people that it reaches and it impacts beyond, you know, why should it only just be for somebody to put in their house and for only those people to enjoy it, right? And so I feel that with, you know, sculptures, with, I think public art overall allows so many more people to enjoy it and interact with it in a different way. And I think what I would love to do is do more public art like I've done with the murals that merge the physical with the digital experience. Because I think that the next generation, every surface, they're just going to be putting their phone up and saying, well, this is not doing something. And I think it'll just become, especially now with the glasses,
right?
You know, it's going to be a seamless transition between digital to physical.
I'm actually very interested in the public art, you know, the things that cannot be duplicated as well. I mean, a mural, nobody's going to print out a massive mural on the side of the building. Same thing with sculptures. They typically don't just get printed out and then reproduced. And I wanted to hear a little bit more about what do you think the future is as far as public art and how technology will affect everything that we see alongside the buildings, on the tables, every sculpture that we see. How do you think that that's going to affect us positively other than just being a fun little trick that your phone can do?
No, I mean, I think that's an excellent question. And I think that's the whole point is that now with NFTs, it all of a sudden allows you to monetize a whole public sculpture, right? As you said, you can't print it out, but you can actually, I mean, sell the image of the wall as the one of one NFT. Mm-hmm. Somebody can also go up to a wall and they can claim an NFT to be like, I was there kind of a vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go and you say like, in the tech world, they call it proof of attendance.
Yeah,
it's a little POAPS, right? And so, yeah, but we always have to make sure other people understand what we're talking about.
Everyone else.
And then like, even for example, like even the mural that I painted at the DIFC, what I've done is I created a whole kind of a different type of fractionalization. So I have all these characters in the mural, which I've now made into separate little PFPs that you can buy both as physical and also as digital. So there's also ways of then being able to take the public art, but then being able to also, you know, monetize it for the artists, but most importantly, being able for people to have a piece of that.
Yeah.
And then like what I did with the sculpture, I did a small scale sculpture, which I actually created my language and I had 145 slices of the sculpture. So I physically fractionalized the sculpture. Wow. And you bought an NFT and you got a slice of the sculpture itself. So that's also something where you can have a sculpture and then you end up being able to take it away and having part of it. And then you're really part of a club that only you're those few people who own that sculpture that used to be, you know, in the middle of New York, city or something like that. And so that brings a whole element of history, culture, done in a way that may have not been done before.
I'm really curious as to what your creative process is like. How do you go from idea to execution to bring about a final piece to life?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I actually, I mean, it's when I, first of all, I would say that on an annual basis, number one, I always take a creative retreat. So I always go away and, you know, have it. So I'm kind of very much disconnected and I'm able to really just kind of connect to myself within a really nice, amazing, beautiful space. And I believe, I'm a big believer in personal growth, meditation, all of that, whether or not people follow that or not, but it's something very important to my practice. But and to its core, when I find something and I just get this creative spark, my problem is I have so many creative ideas in a day, it's ridiculous. But there will always be one or two ideas that no matter, even if I try to forget them, they just keep coming and they just keep manifesting. And then I'm like, and actually what I like, one day what I'll actually show you is where originally I came, my first bucket monster concept, to then eventually where it actually came to.
Yeah, we'll love to see that.
And so like just those iterations. And even when I know that like I'm exhausted and I don't even feel like doing it, but it just, I'm just there still doing it, then I know, okay, this, I've got to share this. And so that's how some ideas get put more to execution and then some kind of fall a bit more down the wayside. But I also have like, I think like a whole, I actually have like maybe 4 years worth of collections already.
Oh, wow.
That I could, yeah.
Okay, so, in like a queue and you're waiting a full amount. Okay.
And also the right opportunity, the
of
right
course,
people.
The timing.
Exactly. Yes. Right opportunity.
Do you finish every piece that you start or is it more about the process and then you get another idea, switch to that one? Do you have a lot of
I don't
projects?
I don't finish every idea that I come with, but I will have an idea and then I will park it or even I'll put it into some sort of deck. Right, like to be like, okay, this is what I wanna, if for example, like a sculpture idea or other stuff. But overall, there are things that I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna do that. It's saying something to me. I'm gonna keep on developing it as I go along.
So then I'm curious if this Bucket Monsters collection has some sort of common thread with your other collections. I know Soundbites was one of your primary ones, and that was a multimedia project that included, well, sound and audio in it. So I'm wondering if there's like a tie-in or a common thread between them.
Yeah, 100%. And I know it's hard because you're going from sound to Bucket Monsters, right? But actually, to the core of it, what were Soundbites about? They were about a word is worth a thousand pictures. And the whole point, if you look at it from a more kind of wellness or spiritual journey or personal growth, is what are the words that we use? Because the words that we use influences the images that come up in people's minds, say about us or about you about a concept. That becomes our personal, personal reality, which eventually becomes our personality. And so the common theme is there is that your words, thoughts, actions, and experiences determine ultimately who you become. And that's really, for me, the core of how I operate. I always wonder, what am I looking at? What am I scrolling? What am I watching? Who am I talking to? How am I talking to myself? And then that will change my personal reality, which will then be able to change my future.
Yeah, but I don't think people ask themselves these questions enough. That's the issue.
Well, that, as an artist, that's what I'm there to help you try to do in a way that is fun and entertaining, but hopefully deep and thoughtful at the same time.
Any other advice that you have for aspiring artists out there that are in the digital space or just any sort of artist?
Yeah, I think with, it's with artists, it's very hard because especially in a weird way going into the Web3 world because you have to create the art. Then you now also have to worry about the tech or the showcase.
Right.
And then the hardest part about being an artist is actually selling your art. And so I would say that I don't think the Web2 world has got it right because it's very much full of gatekeepers and galleries. But also at the Web3 side of it, it puts too much responsibility on the artist as well. And I know that they say, oh, you just have to pay 2.5% only on OpenSea, you can just list it. But there still needs to be some sort of curation. So if you're an artist out there that's worrying about, you know, everything from creation to selling, my advice is it isn't easy and making for sure that you kind of find your way around navigating and understanding that these are very different jobs and actually to seek the right people to help you on them.
Good and nice.
And you mentioned the word jobs, and that's what I always think about when I think of professional artists is how much of your time do you spend on the creation process versus how much time do you spend on part of it?
Not as much as I would like to. And I think this is, you know, I would say going forward, even just for my own learning, is making sure that I'm going to lean in a lot more to, and it's hard because I'm an ex-banker. I can do a spreadsheet as much as I can paint a big painting, which a lot of artists can't do. So I then get tempted to do both. Mm. But actually being able to say, no, this is where, as an artist, this is where I want to spend most of my time. But then getting other experts in to help either on the ops, the sales and marketing, and the tech side. And basically making sure you have a team behind you.
So yeah, we always wish that you could spend more time on actually producing and creating. And I think that we'll get better products out of that as opposed to spending all of your time networking and trying to find the right buyers. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that at Future Blockchain Summit, we really try to emphasize is making sure that we have the right visitors so we have the right buyers for people like you to really showcase your work and find the right people that are interested in the things that you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I think Future Blockchain Summit provides like a really amazing platform for everyone to expose what they're doing. More so also with art, because it gives everybody a little bit of, you know, entertainment as well once they are networking. But being able to give the artists, you know, you come, you bring your art, and we will bring the community for people to enjoy it, find out a little bit more about you. And I think something, having that merge, and they always say like, this is why in the DIFC, you have the art galleries with the, you know, the finance. And they always say that when finance people get together, they like to talk about art. And when artists get together, they like to talk about money. And so being able to bring in collectors with, and being a platform where, you know, people can come and enjoy your art, and you just have to produce it and have that on show, it is a great connection.
All right, one last question for you, Amrita. I am really curious to hear your thoughts on what you think about meme coin mania and runes on Bitcoin and all these crazy things that some people say might make us look a little unserious or silly as an industry, but at the same time, it's just a fun thing. That,
oh my God, I could have a whole podcast.
Okay, okay.
But just as a very quick thing is I would say that, you know, it's hard to not get caught up in FOMO and to get caught up in the hype. And even, you know, Web3, you know, one of the cool things about Web3 is people are able to move very, very quickly,
right?
Like it's something that the Web2 community would take ages to do. So then there are these kind of hype and fads and these bubbles. And even as me as an artist, I was like, oh no, like I'm launching it on Solana. I was like, oh my God, I should have done it on Runes. But you just need to know not to get too caught up in that hype. Mm. However, if you are well positioned to take care of the hype, you know, to take, you know, advantage of the hype, then why not, right? I mean, at the same time, as long as it's done in a way that you're not going to harm anybody and scam anybody.
Yeah.
And then at a very kind of, now I'm talking a bit like my ex-banker side, is it's a little bit of a parody on the current kind of financial system. Because if you ask, like, you know, it's interesting to see a Web2 banker having a conversation with a Web3 degen, because the Web2 bankers are like, it's a meme coin, it's based on nothing. Like, you know, it's actually, there's got no substance to it. All you're doing is you're taking something, pumping it up, selling it off and making lots of money. And then the degen will look at the web
he's
and say,
at
well,
the money that he's making.
I know, but the Web3 guy's looking at the banker and saying, but haven't, that's what you've kind of done for generations within the system. The only difference is I'm not going to go and be making thousands of plastic toys just to feel that I've got a business, or using the world's resources just to make a business so that there's substance to it, so I can pump up the prices. And so, I mean, it's a very delicate topic. You know, the current financial system, you know, in a way, if you want to be a little bit cynical, you can very much parody on it and say, isn't it a little bit like a meme coin?
And that's Amrita's hot take.
Yeah.
No, but I love it. Thank you so much for your time today, Amrita. Yeah, yeah. I will definitely be checking out Bucket Monsters. Keep us updated with any more updates or new collections that you have going on.
Absolutely. And yeah, please do follow us, bucketmonsters.com. Managed to get the .com, so I can firmly say nobody's ever done it before. And I just hope everybody really resonates with it, and hopefully you'll start to tell me what kind of a bucket you are, and if some people should be cleaning their buckets or not.
Everyone, go check out bucketmonsters.com. Thank you, Stephen, for being my co-host today.
Of course.
This episode was in partnership with the Mina Surge podcast. Everyone, go check out other episodes of Web3 Talks while you're on Web3 TV, and I'll see you guys next week.